everybody, and welcome to Ultimate Despair Reprise. I think I started calling this After Class. I don't know. This is the second one I've done. We are joined by another very special guest. Citizen, please identify yourself to the universe.
I am Brian Beacock, and I am the voice of Monokuma.
That is... God, I am flabbergasted. Thank you for coming on to the show. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'm excited.
Yeah. So, actor, producer, voice actor, you've done a lot of stuff. I did a little bit of research before this, and I didn't realize that you were a producer on a TV show.
Yes, actually a show that I created, back in the day we were calling them web series, but now they're, digital series. Everything on TV is a web series. It's called Acting Dead, and it's a TV show about this kind of like hyper-realized Los Angeles where every TV show and movie and fashion show is based on zombies, which is not far from the truth.
In this world,
this bad actor that I play, Tate Blodgett, is so bad that he just can't book a gig. He can't even book a gig as an extra on The Walking Dead. So there's this company called Flatline Inc. that turns real actors into real zombies, so they're more likely to be cast as zombies on television. And it's basically like Parks and Rec or The Office meets Shaun of the Dead.
That's a pretty good combo. I'm a big fan of all those things. I'm gonna have to check it out after this. I'm such a bad researcher. I only found out about this last night. I mostly think of you as Mr. Monokuma.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes.
So, kind of one of my first questions is, you were in kind of a rare position. You got to voice Monokuma for every mainline video game in the series. You did for 1, 2, V3, and Ultra Despair Girls, which is how we got the namesake of this show. What was it like to voice a character for that long, for nearly 5 years?
Well, of course, we don't even really feel it like that or see it that way because there's so much time in between, from game to game, or if you're working on a series, sometimes episode to episode, because you're working in blocks of periods of time. So when I first got the job, I didn't know anything about it. I just knew that they kind of wanted to match me in pitch similarly to the Monokuma in Japan, which was very high. I mean, it's a very, very, woman. I think she passed away recently. And if I'm not mistaken.
I don't think it was necessarily that. Nobuya Oyama, she is the woman who voiced Doraemon.
Doraemon, correct.
Yeah. It was very funny. I found like a very old TV ad that she did where I think it was like a sake commercial. And you can actually hear bits and pieces of the Monokuma voice. So I guess so you were brought into like kind of voice match for her. Like, was that like, how was her... how was her performance like? Like, how did you take that into account? Because that would be like, for me, I would think, oh, that's like trying to voice match for Winnie the Pooh or something,
Well, it's very true. And to be honest and to be fair, they don't play or they didn't play that many references for me. They just basically wanted to get the pitch similar. And then in the script, they've got indications to where Monokuma is light and playful and sarcastic with tones of evil to really evil, growly. And, that's where we kind of played around with the pitch being mid-range to low to really, really high. So it wasn't so much that I had to sound like her. We just wanted to take little bits and pieces and kind of like the flavor and the essence of what she did. And then the rest was kind of up to our interpretation, which was really fun.
So how did you interpret the character? What were some of the processes you went into when interpreting the Monokuma character?
Well, besides hot tea and Ricola for my voice. Right. First of all, it was so funny, and it got even more funny as the games progressed and more, you know, ridiculous and offensive to some.
And completely unhinged as well, which is really great.
Crazy. Yeah, completely unhinged and just stuff that I would never even think of saying, especially the last game was crazy. And the director and I, Wendy Lee. Now, I don't remember who directed the first one, and forgive me for this, I don't remember.
I think I saw in the credits somewhere, I saw like Tony Oliver's name at some point.
Oh, Tony! Oh my god, yeah, I feel terrible. He's a brilliant actor and a brilliant director. I've worked with Tony a lot. In fact, he directed me in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure last year.
I mostly know Tony from his work on Power Rangers back in the day, but
that's right.
Yes, he was like ADR director or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, and he directed, if I'm not mistaken, some of the live shows. When they were filming out in, I guess it was New Zealand, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Tony's fabulous. So it was Tony and Wendy Lee. And we would just scream laugh in the sessions. It was just so much fun. So we just play around and record things, you know, some as we were figuring out who Monokuma was, we would record lines differently with different tones and different levels of anger or underlying danger and just kind of came up with what he was.
Right. So, God, I just want to know more about what it was like working with Tony and Wendy Lee because, you know, they sound fantastic.
Here's the thing about both of them. And, so many directors I've worked with, Mary Elizabeth McGlenn, and it's just, they have a really, because they're actors, they've got this shorthand. You know, they can just say a couple words to you as opposed to giving you a line reading or whatever. You know, just giving you an idea of what to put in your head as to how to, you know, interpret the line and present the line. And it was also fun, too, because we weren't locked into sync like you are with dubbing an original anime television show where you have to match the flaps. This was completely, for the most part, sometimes you did match timing for the game. But for the most part, we can kind of do what we wanted to do. And so it was really kind of an actor's dream, especially working with directors that were actors themselves. So it was a blast.
Yeah. So were there any, like, lines or any sort of, like, moments that you recall, like, voicing Monokuma, like, over the, you know, various games that, like, really stood out to you?
Well, of course, in the beginning, it was, you know, all that, you know, but if you choose the wrong one, doing that all the time really made me laugh. And, of course, it's, you know,
God, and then nailing the poo-hoo-hoo. How long did it take to nail that one?
We just had to like figure it out and like how many hoo-hoo-hoos was it? And then of course, you know, Monokuma has that occasional maniacal laugh. It's early. I wonder if I can do it without scaring my neighbors, but it's that, you know, like.
I love that cackle so much.
For goodness sakes.
Yes. Look, it reminds me a little bit of, I don't know if Grant Kirkhope was the one who did the voice of like Grunty and like, did you ever play Banjo-Kazooie? Back in the day, like there was like a really good like witch's cackle in that. Oh. It reminded me of that, and it's like it's like in the very first episode of the show that we recorded, like the podcast, it was very funny because both in the English and Japanese, you kind of nailed this aspect that like Monokuma fundamentally doesn't respect you. That's why he talks to you like a cartoon character. Just really
that's
good.
So
yeah.
Really funny.
What were some of your influences of the voice? What were some of the things that kind of went into it? Like, what kind of headspace were you in? Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it was really, it's funny. I didn't really have like a specific influence like, oh, I'm going to make this sound like, you know, say, you know, the witch from Warner Brothers cartoons or whatever. It's kind of like when you get into that vocal range, at least for me, when you're that high, certainly, you are limited, at least I am, in certain things that you can do when you're up that high. So you've got certain tricks and stuff that you can do. But if you really think about what Monokuma was and what he's doing and his evil, sinister, sarcastic, playful, sadistic behavior, it just kind of puts you in in his shoes. And it's very funny because there is a certain physicality to doing him too that, of course, no one's going to see because it's just a voiceover. But there's a lot of physical activity when doing Monokuma while still trying to like stay on the mic, you know, so you're not dancing around the booth.
But exactly. So you can't
be everywhere. But I certainly move a lot and do stuff with my hands. It's almost like a mocap situation where you are inhabiting Monokuma and acting out the scene, you know, in the full physical form, not just the voice. And I think that benefits and helps me get the voice out when the body is responding as well.
Absolutely. So stepping away from Monokuma for a little bit, we can always come back to him. I know that you have done roles for Digimon. I was a particular fan of... I think he did the protagonist in like season 3. I'm blanking on the name.
Takato. Yeah. Takato.
I have to say like that season of Digimon was a particular favorite of mine. But you also do Krillin in one of the alternate dubs for Dragon Ball Super. What was that like?
Well, it's really interesting. Well, first of all, Takato was my first anime job ever.
Really?
Yes. So that was like, what was that, 1999 or?
I think it was early 2000s, I think, was.
Probably. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think the first season of Digimon was like late 90s. And that I remember because I was like in like elementary school when that came out. Okay. Go ahead.
That was my first job directed by Mary Elizabeth McGlynn. I didn't know what I was doing. We weren't even working Pro Tools then. We were still on tape, recording on tape, like for the last 6 months of that. And so that job and that role really means a lot to me because that basically started my voiceover career, thanks to Mary Elizabeth. And so he was awesome to play. Takato was awesome to play and still probably remains my favorite ever.
I there's a, like a line in which this sticks in my memory in which I think Takata was talking about like week old like bagels or something like that. I have a lot of affection for Digimon in that particular role. What was it like? You said it was your very first role. Tell me a little bit about like about that role. And what kind of went into it?
Well, I was doing a play. I was doing a one-man show down in Laguna Beach at the time. It was called Fully Committed. Jesse Tyler Ferguson, the actor, he just did it on Broadway, I think, a couple years ago. But it was a great part. 38 different roles I played. I played 38 different people. And no costumes, just physicality and the voice and stuff. And Mary Elizabeth and I had worked at Beetlejuice at Universal Studios Hollywood, singing and dancing all day. And she was the Bride of Frankenstein. I was Phantom of the Opera. It was a crazy show. And so she had gotten a job directing Digimon. And I didn't really know about that much about it. She had left Universal. And she called me and she saw the play, Fully Committed. And she goes, well, I think maybe this is something you can do. And so she called me in to audition for Takato. And like I said, I hadn't really done this. I certainly hadn't matched sync before, dealt with flaps or anime or anything like that. So it was a really new world to me. And, but he was so well written. The part was so well written, Takato, and so well directed by Mary Elizabeth that I really grew into it. And I found a lot to connect with. And 3 months after the audition, I think, is when I booked the job. And that's when the real work began, because I'm like, what the hell is this shorthand? Like, what are these slashes and parentheses and apostrophes? What do they mean? You know, because a dubbing script. Weird.
Right. And that's like in the physical script that you're reading during the dubbing process, right?
Correct. Yeah. And you've got like, you know, closed teeth to open mouth fall at, you know, 1 hour, 2 minutes, 37 seconds and 5 frames. And like you're basically reading these down right away. It's like you're a session player in a or a session singer doing commercials. You come in, you sing the music, and you leave. So there's no rehearsals for this, maybe one or two if the timing is weird or if it's a particularly difficult section of the show. And that's how it works. And that's why you get so many lots recorded in an hour or 2 hours when you do these sessions. So, but me, I was brand new. I was this novice. I'm like, it was very nerve-wracking, you know, but it was great fun. And working with Steve Bloom, who played Gilmon, was amazing.
God, the very first voice I learned how to do was Gilmon. Can I give you my Gilmon voice?
I'd love to hear it.
Well, the name main character's name was Takato, right?
Takato!
Yeah,
amazing.
Thank you. I remember years ago, I think I was in like late middle school or something, and I watched that season, and I was just watching it, and just at some point, I was able to move to this voice and register apropos of nothing.
That is so weird, and it's so frustrating because I can't do it. I cannot make that voice.
I think about, like, I tense, like, a certain part of my jaw, and that allows me to get there. Like, I can't describe it, but yeah,
really good.
Thank you. I have a lot of affection for that. Thank you. Oh, God. This is, honestly, like, I'm flabbergasted. I'm even recording this right now.
I know. Hey, man. It's exciting.
Yeah. So there's Takato and also Krillin and DB Super. That's a more recent show. Yeah. But so what was that like? Are you influenced at all by like Sunny Strait's performance?
No, to be honest, and this is weird, people are going to hate me. I had never seen Dragon Ball. I had never seen Dragon Ball Z Super. I'd seen the figurines, obviously, at the Comic Cons and stuff, but I wasn't a fan of the show. I didn't know anything about it. So. I don't think they played many references for me to match. At that time, you know, they were also doing the dub for North America as well. And the only thing I can remember about it is that it went by so quickly. I don't even know how many sessions I had, but it wasn't a lot. We would do batch recordings, and maybe Krillin just didn't have tons of lines, but I think I maybe did that whole season like in 3 or 4 sessions. So it's not something that I even really remember that much about.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
So like how long are these sessions usually in these batch recordings?
Typically the way it goes is everything is 2 hours. Especially with video games. Like I couldn't do more than a 2-hour Monokuma. That's for darn sure. It was hard enough doing Monokuma like one or two sessions in a week, because you could really trash your voice and need a couple days off before you come back. But for anime or whatever, like it's usually a 2-hour session, and it's really fun too when you only have a couple lines, because you know, you go in for 20 minutes and get paid for 2 hours. So that's fun too.
Ooh. Yeah, yes. Like nice reward for that.
Exactly.
So, one of the other co-hosts of the show, they were curious. Did you ever go back and like play through the Danganronpa games?
Okay, so this is another weird thing about me that is embarrassing. I have never owned a gaming system.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, no, I think that's true. I don't think that's true. I think when I was a kid, we had an Atari. So that's how old I am. So I played Pong. So I have never played Danganronpa. And in fact, the only time that I've ever seen it is watching these playthroughs on YouTube. And it kills me because, well, I have a very addictive personality. I mean, you know, not like drugs or alcohol or whatever, but I mean, like, you know, words with friends and, you know, Candy Crush.
Sure.
So I worry that if I got a gaming system, I would never leave the house. You know, I mean, I would just absolutely, especially if I'm watching my own work. I mean, not to be a narcissist, but I'd be like, wow, what did I do here? This is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I listen to the, like, after I record these podcasts, I usually listen to them, like, 2 or 3 times just to, like, and I'm constantly, like, criticizing myself. It's like, oh, I could have edited this a little better, I could have said this a little clearer, but
you get it.
Yeah, I kind of realized, though, you just kind of have to get it out there and just kind of work from there.
For sure.
Yeah, but that's neat. I always think about how, like, Let's Plays and stuff is like very accessible for people who don't have gaming systems or just don't have like the time or energy Lord knows I play a lot too many video games. That's why I do. That's why I do a video game podcast.
That's right. That's right. But I would love to. I would really. I mean, I have seen a lot of it. It is difficult sometimes to actually find on YouTube. There's like just like this rabbit hole of, is this the one that I did the voice for? Is this the Japanese version? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, sure. Brian Beacock, English Danganronpa game, like all these, you know, keywords and stuff to try to find the right stuff. But
voice
I
comparison.
Did watch a little bit. Yeah, exactly right. And sometimes there's people that have taken the video and they put their voice on it, which is fine too. Those are fun. But yeah, I mean, and as I get older too, I like to look back and see the stuff that I did. And it's funny, my voice hasn't really even changed that much, which is very weird. I mean,
like it's kind of interesting. Like I know, like do you ever have like trouble with like trouble with that high register or doing like young male characters?
Yeah, well, you know, it depends. First of all, you know, if I'm sick or and you know. Everyone in LA is always sick, but right, it depends on the time of day that the air and the congestion, the smog and all that stuff, the mental stress of show business. But it depends on when the session is. You know, typically for a video game, I'm trying not to do a 9 a.m. recording, maybe a 4 to 6 p.m., things like that. And that really helps to warm up. And then if you're really busy, you know, which has been the case a lot of the times, and you're working on several TV shows, you know, in the same months, if you've got several sessions booked for the week or sometimes the same day, that's a little difficult too. And you try to juggle by recording the really easy roles and the easy dialogue and characters in the morning and then do the crazy stuff at the end of the day where you can really just, you know, slam it out.
Right. So, you know, talking about the stress of show business and all that, but who or what inspires you as an artist? Like, who are some of your inspirations?
I have so many in the voiceover world, you know, I mean, I love Seth MacFarlane, of course. He does, you know, he's got a handful of voices, okay? Like, you know, sometimes you can just hear, oh, that's Brian the Dog, or no, that's someone else, but it sounds like Brian the Dog.
He has the five voices that he could do, and yeah. He made a very successful career out of it, so I don't know.
Exactly.
What do I know?
Exactly right. I mean, he's brilliant at it, and he's really funny, and he's a great singer. So I love him, and I love his shows. And then, of course, you know, it's Mel Blanc and it's those oldies, you know, from the Looney Tunes and all that stuff. Yes.
Is there a particular Looney Tunes character that you really love?
I love Bugs Bunny.
Who doesn't?
Daffy Duck makes me crazy. I think Porky Pig is amazing, but it also makes me a little mental. But Bugs Bunny is just my favorite. I just absolutely love him. And what was the character, the alien? I'm going to blow up the earth.
Marvin Man Martian. I almost said Martian Man Hunter. That's a DC comic.
Okay.
But no, Marvin the Martian. It's like, where is the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth shattering kaboom.
Love that. And yes. Then, you know, as actors, I've got so many favorite actors. You know, I love Jake Gyllenhaal, actually. He's amazing.
I still need to see Nightcrawler.
It's so good. And, you know, Jake has done now, in the last couple of years, three Broadway shows, including... Kidding. Yeah, he played Seymour. He sang in Little Shop of Horrors, Revival in New York. He did Sunday in the Park with George. I mean, he's got a great singing voice. He's so well-rounded and amazing. I'm fascinated by him. And I mean, there's just so many.
Yeah.
There's so many.
That's great. And this is the, like, a little behind the scenes when I think about, like, James Lipton. He had all these questions. Here's like my last question before if you could send one message to the world that would be understood perfectly by everyone, what would you say?
I have two.
Okay. What's the first one?
Okay. The first is be kind to each other. And the most important one is learn the difference between there, there, and there.
God, Ikes. Makes all the difference. I used to work as an English teacher in Japan.
Oh.
And having to explain to these kids, it's like, oh, right, the letter A in English makes like five different sounds, and we have like no visual indication of That's which right. sound it's making. We don't have accent marks or anything, so
it does make me crazy. So I spend most of my day on Facebook correcting people. How's that? But yeah, be kind to each other. Live your life. Don't get in anyone's way. And we can get through this.
That's great. Is there anything you would like to plug or talk about? Anything you've been working on lately?
Sure. I mean, I've got a couple new shows coming out that I can't talk about, which is exciting, but they'll be out soon.
That's cool.
And of course, I would love everyone to go to Amazon Prime and watch my show, Acting Dead. It's a free with Prime membership. You can also get more information about the show at actingdead.com. And then, of course, come say hi. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Brian Beacock. And coming up soon, I'll be doing those little cameo videos. So if anyone wants to have like a birthday shout out or a hello or a, you know, happy bar mitzvah or a graduation to their friends or to themselves, contact me there.
Sure. Can I like on that service ask you to like record a radio bumper for this podcast?
Yes, of course. What should I say?
You're listening. Just a like. How about you're listening to Ultimate Despair Reprise, and something of evolving a bear pun.
A bear pun?
Be prepared, or are you? It was so funny. We had a fan voice actor do a pretty good Monokuma impersonation. They said, are you feeling the despair yet?
I love that. I love that. Okay, so Ultimate Podcast.
Ultimate Despair Reprise. You're listening to Ultimate Despair Reprise. Do you feel the despair yet?
I love it. Let's do it.
All right.
Hey, this is Brian Beacock, and you're listening to Ultimate Despair Reprise. Are you feeling the despair yet?
Oh, my God. Okay, well, Brian, it has been an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate you responding and coming out. Thank you so much for this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was really, really fun. Nice meeting you guys.
Nice to meet you too. And to everyone else, thank you for listening. Class dismissed.